At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. Comes to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. This week's guest, PGA Tour rookie Eric Cole, came so close to getting his first PGA Tour victory at the Honda, losing out in a playoff to Chris Kirk. Had a wicked lip out on the first playoff hole, but wanted to get him on and kind of talk about his journey. Very much a late bloomer. He's 34 years old, but I think it's a great opportunity to listen to someone who's kind of been through everything that you can kind of go through in the game of golf. You know, you're trying to play professionally. You're trying to make as much money as possible, get off those mini tours, and he has managed to do that. Really excited for everyone to hear that. But before we get to the interview, let's take a moment to talk about Cobra Golf's new Aerojet driver. I've been with Cobra Puma for a long time and huge fan of their products. I think they make the best equipment in the game. They've got a new Aerojet driver out. I got it towards the end of last year, went straight into my bag. There are three different models. You've got the Aerojet, which is the low spin, high launch. The Aerojet LS, which is low spin, low launch. And the Aerojet Max, which is going to give you a combination of all of those and give you the most forgiveness. It's got some new technology in it, the PWR bridge weighting, advanced aerodynamic design, and the PowerShell hot face. That's all tech talk, but what that means for you is it's a fast driver. The ball comes off the face fast. That's going to give you more distance. Everybody wants more distance. I think if you give this driver a try, you are going to like it. You can check out all three drivers and pick which one is right for you at CobraGolf.com. So a big shout out to the Cobra Puma team for their support. And now let's get to the interview. So Eric, it's been a hell of a couple weeks for you. You know, you got your PGA Tour card. You missed, I think, the first four cuts in the fall. And I mean, as a rookie coming off the Corn Ferry, that puts you behind the eight ball early. Did you feel pressure? And I mean, did the start kind of make you kind of freak out a little, or were you just like, listen, it's a long season. I know my game is good. What's that start like?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's definitely a bigger environment and everything than the Corn Ferry Tour. But, you know, even though I missed a lot of those cuts, I actually played pretty well. Two of them I missed by one. And I felt pretty good about my game as a whole. I just didn't score all that well. And I had a couple like weird things. I had COVID for the first tournament in Napa. And then I had, had my club stolen in Vegas, in front of the hotel. So back window broken out and clubs just jacked right out of the back window. So, you know, a couple of weird things like that, but I, like I said, I felt good about my game overall. So I was kind of just under the mindset that eventually the tide will kind of turn a little bit.
That's a tough, I mean, a rookie on the PGA Tour, you're trying to play good early, your clubs get swollen. I mean, was that at night? Was that in the morning?
It was at 3 PM in the afternoon. at the JW Marriott in Vegas in Summerlin. So it was very unusual. You know, they had some video of the guys, you know, breaking into it, but nothing ever really came of it with the cops. But I do, it's kind of a crazy thing. I had a girl message me on Instagram like a month or two after, and she said, "I just moved into a new house and your clubs are sitting in my garage." So then I'm like, yeah, you know, I'd like to have them if you don't mind. So she drove them from her house to TPC Summerlin, and then the pro there sent them to my house. So I actually got them back, and everything was in there except my tour credential was stolen. But
so there's somebody else trying to get into family dining with your tour credential.
Potentially, yeah, I might have to have security look out for them.
I mean, the story, I mean, it is an amazing story. I mean, you're 34 years old. I mean, definitely not the norm for PGA Tour rookies. I mean, we both live in South Florida, the minor league, where you played a lot. 54 wins on the minor league?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's up there somewhere, though.
That is a huge kind of stepping stone for a lot of players. I mean, I mean, if you live in South Florida, a lot of good players come off that tour. Brooks Koepka, his brother played there. A bunch of guys, Chris Ventura, who's played. I mean, guys play that. Obviously, there's no substitute for winning. And I work with a bunch of, you know, kids that are on that tour. How important do you feel like the minor league has been for your development?
I think it's definitely been important. You know, one thing about, they do mostly 1 and 2 day events. And when you play a lot of 1 and 2 day events, you have a chance to win a lot of tournaments, and you kind of get in this mindset of, you know, they have like a live leaderboard that you can look at, and you get in this mindset of, you know, okay, I to win this tournament, I have to birdie 3 of the last 5, or I have to birdie the last 2, or whatever it is. And I think just getting that, whether it's pressure or, you know, expectation on yourself, and then kind of seeing yourself do it every once in a while, I think is really, it kind of sets you up well for, you know, 4 day tournaments, or whether guys are going to go out and do Monday qualifiers. Like, I think it's really good prep as a whole, and golf in South Florida, as you know, is really strong. And even though you haven't heard of a lot of the guys out there, you know, there's a lot of good players.
Most of the purses right around $1,000, maybe $1,500, and then you finish second at the Honda and you make almost $1 million. I guess my question is, because I have so many players that are trying to do what you're doing, right? They have a dream. They play high school golf. They play college golf. And I don't think the average golf fan realizes, I mean, they're only seeing when they're watching the PGA Tour on Sundays, and they're watching, you know, like last weekend, Bay Hill. I mean, you're seeing some of the best players in the world. So it all looks normal. You know, Jordan Spieth didn't have to struggle. He just went, you know, Matt Wolff, 4-8 rounds into his PGA Tour career, he wins a PGA Tour event, right? And we were at a tournament last week, the LIV tournament. We were in a practice round, and guys were talking about, yeah, when they went to the European Tour, and Brooks was talking about travel, he and Peter, the struggle early. And Matt Wolff was like, I love hearing these stories because I didn't have any of that. I mean, I won my second tournament out. But the road is so long. The minor league, from playing, you know, mini tour golf, then you go to Korn Ferry, and then you go to the PGA Tour. What is the difference, would you say? Because I'm always saying to players, listen, it's golf, right? And you know that it is golf. Golf is wherever you're playing it. Yes, the stage on the PGA Tour is bigger. There's more fans. But does that kind of do a mind trick on you to make you think that it's just not the same? Because I think everybody is trying to work their way to, that's trying to play competitive golf, everybody wants to play the PGA Tour. And I think some of it is as much at times they struggle mentally as they do technique or physically.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, the golf ball doesn't know the difference whether you're out with your buddies playing a minor league or it's the last of a PGA Tour event. So there's definitely some truth to that. And, you know, there's definitely the biggest change is just like the depth, right? So, you know, when you play minor leagues, the top five guys are really good. A lot of them have had success in the past and are just playing, coming back from an injury or because they're in town or something. So the top, as you go down, is almost always still pretty strong, especially in South Florida. But, you know, like the depth might fall off a little bit when you get into minor league. And then, you know, it gets stronger when you get in the Corn Ferry Tour. Like all those guys have kind of proven themselves in college or Q school or past seasons out there. And then, you know, the PGA Tour is just like another step up from there, where, you know, the back end is just, you know, like a little bit deeper, a little bit more accomplished players that are, have more experience. But that, you know, to win at any level of professional golf, you know, you have to play some great golf, and you have to, you know, battle with a little bit of mental stuff or a little bit of, you know, not having your best stuff and getting the most out of it. So, you know, winning is good at any level. And I think it definitely kind of is a good pattern to get into, you know, whether it's junior golf or professional golf at a lower level. Like when you start to win, you start to gain confidence and you start to feel more comfortable.
Is there anybody, so you come out on tour, is there anyone you've been starstruck by where you've walked past them while they're on the driving range and kind of had that, you know, whoa. I mean, that guy's like, I play now. I mean, it's like being in the NBA, right? And you've never seen LeBron before, and all of a sudden you go up against him. I mean, is there an element of being starstruck? And are there any players that you, like Bay Hill last week, you're playing against, you know, right now, some of the best players on the planet. Did you see anybody last week that you hadn't seen before kind of go, and you kind of went, wow, there he is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a little bit of that for sure. You know, like warming up, like I get there a little bit early and I'm at the back of most of the waves tee time wise. So a lot of the like big name players are just finishing their warm up. And, you know, I mean, I hit balls next to a bunch of guys that are, you know, always on TV and playing great golf. And, but the cool thing is a lot of them kind of, you know, I think because a lot of them didn't play, the Honda because of the designated events before and after, I had a bunch of people who, you know, are big names that I've never really met come up to me and say like, hey man, we watched you, or, you know, like you looked good and we're, you know, like happy you played well and stuff. So that was kind of cool.
Do you feel like now, after everything you've been through, that you've arrived, that there's that moment where you say, okay, I've been trying to do this. I'm somewhat of a late bloomer. I'm 34 years old. This has always been my dream. And having a big finish, you had a chance to win. You lost in a playoff on a really difficult golf course. How many times have you played PGA National? I'm sure you've played it. Not that much or a lot?
I played a couple minor league events there, and then I probably played it maybe 10 other times just over the years living in the area. So I probably played it around 20 times, I'd say. So I wouldn't say I have a whole lot of course knowledge, but it was, you know, it's a home event, so that was nice.
So the obvious question at 34, you've been trying to do this. You caddied, I mean, I read you caddied for Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson. I mean, what years did you caddy for Sam, and how long did you do that?
Yeah, I caddied for him kind of in two different little spurts. I caddied for him in like 2012 was probably the biggest. I probably did like 5 or 6 months in 2012 where I think he was playing Corn Ferry Tour, but he got some spots in PGA Tour events with sponsors exemptions. So I probably caddied for him for 5 months then. And then I also caddied for him in like 2018. I was coming back from a back injury, and I was kind of like his coach caddy for a few months, for like 6 months or so. So I did like the Florida swing with him, like kind of trying to help him with his game as much as I could, caddied Honda Bay Hill players for him that year. So
what is caddying for a player on the PGA Tour teach you about playing on the PGA Tour that you took to your own game? Because I'm sure, I mean, that's got to be an invaluable tool for you, because obviously you're trying to play, he's trying to play, you're on the bag, so you're on the other side of it. Did you take anything from those caddying experiences that you feel like you took with you?
Yeah, for sure. I'd say The one thing is like the top players, you know, like you can really see the difference between the top, let's say 20 in the world. Sam didn't necessarily play with any of them when I was caddying, but you could just see the difference in the game, the way they hit the ball. You know, their preparation is a little different. But so those guys, I could kind of tell, like, separated themselves. And also almost on the opposite spectrum, like, you know, the line between, let's say, 50th in the world and, that might be a little too low, like 70th in the world and 200th in the world is unbelievably fine. So I felt like, you know, Sam was having a decent year or had a decent year the year before, something like that. And, you know, like just the separation between those guys that are around, you know, 125 or 100 or 150, like the line is just so unbelievably thin to separate those guys. And I felt like, you know, everyone's kind of trying to look for that little edge to kind of make that little bit of a difference to whether it's keep your card or randomly have a great week and win. So that was, you know, I kind of thought that I knew that, but to see it up close and personal was definitely a little eye-opening.
Let's take a moment to thank 4 Wellness for supporting the show. You guys hear me talk about them every week, and the reason I do that is because I drink their coffee every week. I know lots of people are focusing on health and wellness as we start the new year, but what I love most about their coffee is that there isn't anything artificial in it. No artificial ingredients, sweeteners, creamers, and all the junk that isn't good for you. It's only the good stuff, giving you more energy without typical crashes you get when a lot of your coffee and if you have a lot of sugar in your coffee. Give it a try and use the special code CH3. That code will get you 20% off your order, plus free shipping and a free starter kit worth $30 when you visit forwellness.com/podcast. Again, that's the code CH3 at forwellness.com/podcast. So why do you think it took you longer than it's taken other people? I mean, you've had some injuries, Addison's disease. I know that's something that you fight, that makes it hard for you to put on weight. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff. You typically lose weight, pretty quickly if you don't take the right medication, pretty much. I'm also a type 1 diabetic. So that was a little bit of a setback starting. And then, like for me, it was just Q school was really hard for me, for like 5 or 6 years. Like you talk about mini tour golf. I played a lot of really good high level mini tour golf for, you know, most of the year. And then I would get to Q school and there'd just be like a little bit of a performance block. Like I think that I just put a lot of expectations on myself. Like, you know, like I would have a good mini tour year and win a lot of tournaments and, you know, beat a lot of guys who have had success. And I thought, you know, like this should be something that's easy for me. And then when it didn't go well, like that really, like that inability to perform in the situation that 1 week or 2 weeks in Q school, first or second stage, was something that took a while for me to get over. And, you know, for whatever reason, it was a slow moving process.
Is it hard when you go through that to, because I'm on the other side of it, right? I'm on the coaching side of it, the instructor side of it. When you have, like you said, you're doing all the right things. You're playing on a mini tour, you're having success, you're winning, you're seeing progress. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, somebody who I'm sure you've played a ton of golf with, who's kind of a mini tour legend down here for the minor league, Sonny Kim. I mean, Sonny's in the same boat, right? Sonny is like a legit player. And my trainer, Pierre Sereau, Pierre was telling me he's played a lot of minor tour. And he always says, bro, Sonny like lights it up. And every time he goes to Q school, he struggles. Do you think, like you said, is it performance? Is it anxiety? Is it mental? Because obviously if you're winning, I mean, I don't care. My dad always says, listen, I don't care where it is. I don't care what tournament, course, conditions. If you're winning and you're winning at a good rate, that is going to translate eventually.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that sentiment. But for me, it was just, you know, for whatever reason, there was like a little bit, I think in my case, there was a little bit of too high expectations that I put on myself. Like I went to first stage and I was like, you know, this should be something that's very easy for me to get through. Everyone that I play against, I feel like I'm as good or better. It's the same guys at first stage that play mini tour golf all year round. It's like, you know, this should be something that I should just be able to breeze through. And then for whatever reason, it was just like a little bit of a speed bump. And instead of having a, you know, don't worry about it, it's one round or one nine holes at the beginning of Q school, I was kind of like, you know, am I going to be able to do this? Is this something that I can get through? You know, like you start to doubt yourself a little bit and you start to feel like, you know, like maybe it's not meant to be type of thing. And, you know, Sonny is a great player. I've played a lot of mini tour golf with him over the years and he is so unbelievably good. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things where you just have to figure out what works for you. And it's probably different for every player. But for me, it was kind of giving myself a little bit of a break and saying, you know, you don't have to win Q school. You don't have to, you know, prove to everybody how much better you are than them. You could just play good, solid, consistent golf. And, you know, if your game's at the level it should be, then you should be able to get through. And that took me a while to realize that.
As a rookie, you're learning a lot of new courses. I mean, you know, there's courses on the PGA Tour that you've never played before. Is it a fair comment, having come off the Korn Ferry, you finished, I think, third at the Tour Champion at their kind of season-ending Tournament of Champions? How much more difficult are the golf courses? Because I mean, last week, Bay Hill. I mean, do you play golf courses like that on the Korn Ferry that are set up like that?
Not like Bay Hill. I mean, the biggest difference is like the firmness and fastness of the green. So, you know, on the Korn Ferry Tour, you play a lot of actually really good courses, tee to green. But, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's the course setup or the time of year that we go there, you know, like the courses just play so much slower. So the ball in the fairway isn't hitting and running. So when you're hitting into like dogleg par fours, dogleg right and left par fours, you know, like the ball is just hitting and stopping. So it's a lot easier to hit in the fairway and then hitting into the green. If you do hit it in the rough's lower and the greens are more receptive. So you kind of just have like this three-tier thing of the course being slower, the rough being down, and the greens being just softer, that it makes it to where the scores are lower. So, you know, it's definitely a different environment.
Yeah, and then obviously on the Korn Ferry, you can go out on Thursday and shoot two under and be in almost last place.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of easy courses we play on the Korn Ferry Tour too. Like they're not all difficult, but you know, it's mostly set up. Like I said, but everything is just so much softer and slower, and you know, you can just get away with more, like making like short siding yourself on the Korn Ferry Tour. In general, isn't that big of a deal. You know, like you can kind of get something up there where you have a 5-footer for par. Last week at Bay Hill, if you short side yourself, I mean, you're looking at like a good shot is like 20 or 30 feet. So all of a sudden those shots into the greens, although there might not be water on some of them, they turn into penalty shots if you miss the green. So it's just more demanding as a whole.
Yeah. And I think that the golf course is, yeah, from a shape, I've heard that before, that guys say, listen, the conditions are tee to green are fine, but the green complexes, do you feel like one of your strengths in talking to a lot of people that know you well is short game, right? You're not going to be a bomber. You're not going to hit it up with, you know, some of the guys on tour. Do you feel like short game is where you can really, really excel?
Yeah, I mean, typically, like you said, it typically is one of my strengths. So, you know, it's tricky because as the rough gets up, you know, like the skill of short game shots, I think goes down a little bit because everyone's kind of just hacking it out of the rough and trying to get it to, you know, as close as they can for par. But, you know, there's certain courses out here where they have a lot of shaved areas and stuff. And I think that kind of helps you make up some shots on the field. Around the greens. So like this week, I think at the players, I noticed today, there's a lot of like you know, first cut and closely mown areas around versus last time when I was here caddying for Sam. And I think I mentioned to my caddy, I think it's a really good move because when you do miss a green, it's kind of inviting a little bit of skill set into the short game shots. Like what shots are you choosing, you know, versus just the hack it out of the rough to 20 feet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think a lot of the people listening and people that watch golf realize that when you do get that kind of US Open Bay Hill, that really, really thick, thick rough, that there really are no options, right? There's no imagination. Your technique, if you've got a great technique, if you can spin it, if you can go up in trajectories, the runoff areas at TPC Sawgrass, I think are some of the hardest to navigate, but it also allows you to be really, really creative. Have you always had a great short game, and is part of it, what part of it would you say is your technique? Which part of it would you say is kind of your creativity, that kind of special sauce that, you know, I mean, on tour, everybody's short games are pretty good. You can't make it to the PGA Tour and be bad at short game. But then there are the, you know, the elite of the elite, the Jason Days, the Patrick Reeds, Jordan, Tiger in the day. Are you a blend? Is it technique or is it execution and kind of finesse?
I think it's a blend for sure. I think for anybody, you know, growing up in Florida, you know, like you deal with a ton of grain. And so I think naturally just learn to kind of chip out of some like rough lies and, you know, lies that aren't that easy for people that aren't from Florida. So I think that probably helped me, especially with like the creativity and kind of using, you know, just your 60 degree in different ways and kind of learning different shots to hit with it. But yeah, I'd say it's a blend of technique and, you know, it's definitely, as you get closer to the green, the, you know, like the feel side and the artistic side of golf definitely become more important.
I mean, you were hooping it from everywhere at Honda. I mean, so what was different about Honda that week? Because I'm always fascinated with players in talking to them about the weeks they win or the weeks they have chances to win. What's different and how can you access that more often?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had three really good days of ball striking. I don't know if the stats really showed it. Just because, you know, Honda, you have those really tough shots like, you know, 5 and 6 and 15 and 17, where, you know, you're not really trying to hit it close to the hole on most of those. So the stats didn't really say that I had a great ball striking week, but I hit the ball where I was aiming a lot and the right distance the first 3 days. So that was huge. And then I think that helped with I didn't have a great ball striking day the last round, but that helped with my comfort going into the last round. Like, I think I felt a lot more comfortable than maybe I might have anticipated feeling, just because my confidence was high from the first 3 days ball striking wise. And then like you said, I did make my fair share of putts on the last day, so that was very welcome. I was happy to see that.
Obviously you play professional golf to win. Everybody wants to win tournaments. Going into Sunday at the Honda, when in the round did you kind of know, okay, I have a legit, I mean, it's not now, okay, if I shoot 64 today, I could post something. When did you kind of have that moment to where you're like, okay, I am in the room now and there's only about 5 people that can win this golf tournament and I'm one of them?
Yeah, I'd say probably maybe 11. I birdied 11.
Which is I think is one of the hardest holes on that golf course.
We got lucky where it got pretty firm and it was downwind. So my tee shot, I only hit 5 wood and I kind of pushed it down there where I could hit a pitching wedge in. So that was helpful to that pin for sure. But when I birdied 11, I think I got within 1, and, you know, like we hadn't really separated ourselves, but I think, you know, like there was a little bit of room behind us, maybe 2 shots. And, you know, at that point I was like, okay, you know, you're right in the middle of this. If you just keep doing what you're doing, you know, you never know what's going to happen by the time we get to, you know, 18 or 17 or something. So
the sports psychologists always say, take one shot at a time, but all of a sudden you birdie 11 and you look at a leaderboard and you're like, okay, is it hard, and were you able to stay in the moment? Or, like you said, in the past, was the expectation of what you, an opportunity, did you go back into that, or did you stay in kind of just one shot at a time?
Yeah, no, I felt really good. So I definitely stayed in one shot at a time. You know, one good thing about playing the Honda is at the champ, those shots are so hard on the, you know, like once you get to 14, every shot is, you know, very difficult shot. So it's hard to get too far ahead of yourself because, you know, the shot that's right in front of you is kind of like a make or break shot. So I think, you know, I think that's a fortunate thing about the Honda, where you're not like looking up where, oh, you know, 16 is an easy birdie or 17 is an easy birdie. Like those holes are pretty hard. So you're just focusing on hitting a good shot right in front of you. And, you know, I had a lot of family and friends out there kind of yelling and keeping me in it. So, you know, like it was pretty easy to stay in the moment because it was so much fun. I didn't really want to get ahead of myself because of how cool this whole environment was.
Is it, I often think that a lot of players, when they get in situations like that, it's not fun. They don't see it as fun, and it hurts them. And thinking, okay, I've got a chance to win a PGA Tour event. My family's here. I'm going to go out and enjoy as much of this as I possibly can. That sounds easy to do, but it also seems like it should be easy to do because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's golf, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could understand if you get in that position and you get off to a really bad start and there's all those people around and you're really having a bad day where it could not be a lot of fun. But, you know, I mean, I played a lot of golf all over the place, and I've never really had an experience quite like that in that environment. And it's something that it's almost like a little bit like a drug. Like I've never done any real drugs in my life, but I just feel like it was so exhilarating to be in that environment and have a chance to win that it's like, it's addicting. It's like something that you kind of want to experience again and, you know, hopefully get a different result at the end. But, you know, like it's just such a cool environment. Like it really feels like, you know, like you play a lot of golf where it's just, you know, the other guys you're playing with and 10 people watching or 20 people watching, and it doesn't really have like a sports feel to it. And especially at the Honda, like on 17, when it's like closed in, like you really do feel like you're in a, like you're an athlete in a sporting event. And I think that was something that, like I said, I'd never had that experience on a golf course, and it's definitely addicting.
I think everybody saw the putt you hit on 18. I mean, a cruel lip out. If you had it to do over again, would you hit the same putt? Was it the right read, the right speed? I mean, if they took you back out there and said, all right, you can do this again and we'll give you the trophy, would you do the exact same thing?
I think I would just take a little pace off it. I think I just hit it barely too hard. You know, I wasn't going to stand in there and leave it short. So, you know, like I wanted to make sure I hit a good putt and gave it a chance. And I think I just gave it just, you know, 6 inches too much speed that it just didn't quite take the break. But
did you think you'd made it halfway?
Yeah, when I hit it, I hit a great putt. And, you know, I don't use a line on my ball, but I kind of put a line through the Titleist. And, you know, I saw it leave the putter and it was rolling end over end. And I was like, you know, I've been putting well all day. And, you know, I definitely thought I made it halfway there. But as it got to the hole, like I kind of saw it was on the high side. And like I said, I think it just had maybe 6 inches too much pace to kind of take that little bit of break.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
We mentioned almost $1 million. You know, there's so much talk in professional golf about money. The LIV guys went for guaranteed money. I don't think the average fan realizes, because they only see the Netflix documentary and they see everybody flying around on a NetJet and living in these giant mansions. It's hard to make it in professional sports, but professional golf, I mean, the money aspect of it, it's not easy, is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're talking about the minor league tour. Like, I mean, you grind out tournaments and, you know, win $600 and stuff like that at a time. So it's, you know, there's definitely a different side to what you see on TV as far as guys trying to make it. You know, it's worth the work once you get here, I'd say. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money, and it's something that, you know, I've worked really hard for. So, but you know, it does take a lot of work for I guess a lot of guys are straight out of college on the PGA Tour, but in my case, it took a lot of time and a lot of work.
Obviously with the ever changing landscape of the PGA Tour, it seems like, you know, different things are happening with regards to events. This puts you in a really good position, because everybody wants to be one of these guys inside the top 70 to get into these big, you know, $20 million no cut tournaments. Do you feel a sense of a little bit of relief that some of the pressure is taken off? The other thing, talk to me about the re-rank. I don't think everybody realizes you get your PGA Tour card, you're a rookie, but if you don't play well early, the amount of tournaments you get an opportunity to play in becomes pretty limited.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, getting your card is obviously a monumental thing. It's a great thing, but you know, when those 50 cards come out, you know, like where you stand on that list is pretty important just to start with, as far as getting access to play tournaments. And then, as you play, there's a kind of reshuffle within your category that kind of makes it to where, you get in tournaments or not. And a lot of times in the Korn Ferry category, the field is kind of filled and it stops in that category somewhere. So the last man in might be the 10th guy on that reshuffle list, or it might be the 45th guy. So as you play well, you move up your reshuffle list, and it's extremely important to have a good start. And like you mentioned at the beginning, I didn't get off to the best start. So there was a little bit of added, you know, I'm not sure what the word is, but I was trying really hard to motivation, I guess, to try and get on that list and move my way up it.
Obviously, the big thing about somewhat being safe with FedEx Cup points and money is your schedule changes a lot, and you have a lot more opportunities to play in events that when you're not playing well and coming off the Korn Ferry, you're just not going to get in. Are there tournaments now that you probably thought you wouldn't get into that you're legit thinking now, okay, I'm going to have an opportunity to get into that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the players, we'll start with right? that one. I most likely was not going to get in the players. So that's definitely an added bonus. And yeah, I mean, it definitely changes, you know, as you do well, you get more options to play tournaments and, you know, probably the rest side of it becomes as important as anything else, you know, like maybe, whereas before you're looking like, man, I want to play in every tournament I can. And then as you do better, you almost want to be like, you know, is there a tournament I could take off because of these big tournaments I just played before? So, you know, there's definitely a little bit of a shift there, but, you know, those are all good things as you play good golf.
Has the quest for your autograph gone up in a 2 week span? Have you noticed that people now notice who you are?
A little bit. Yeah. I've definitely had a few more autograph requests. You know, like some of the people in the crowd and volunteer know my name. That's kind of nice. When I registered this morning, they knew who I was, which is a little unusual. Most of the time I have to say and spell my last name so they know where I am on the list. But yeah, no, it's been great. It's another one of those things that, you know, that comes with good golf, and I'm really trying hard to play good golf. So I'm happy with all those other things that come with it.
You mentioned having your family at Honda, your father, Bobby Cole, your mom, Laura Ball. I mean, they were both great players. They both played on the men's and women's side. I come from a similar background as you. Chose to do the same thing that, you know, my dad did. You did the same. How much of that is a blessing, and how much of that at times can be a curse? Because I struggled for that for a long time. The imposter syndrome, to where you're like, am I really good enough to be out here? My dad's like the greatest of all time and what I do, and I'm trying to do what he does. I mean, did you go through any of that?
Not as much, because, you know, like I feel like my parents had great careers and they were great players, but they weren't like, you know, like the very best. They weren't, you know, like one of my best friends, Sam Saunders, and, you know, I mean, his grandpa's Arnold Palmer. That's a different level of success. And, there's a lot that comes with that, you know, both good and bad things. But I think in my case, I mostly got good things, you know, like I don't really have a whole lot of, you know, negatives or pressure that comes with it, because like I said, my parents are really well known in the golf world, but you know, they're not like, you know, someone walking down the street doesn't necessarily know who my mom or dad are. So I think, you know, it's been mostly positive, and it hasn't really been a huge like pressure point for me or anything.
Lastly, what are the goals now? I mean, because have the goals changed from what you set out to do when you started last fall? Do you feel like, okay, I know I can win now because I'm one putt away from having an opportunity to be a PGA Tour winner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd say some of the goals are probably changing a little bit, but, you know, in general, for me, like I really try and focus. It sounds like a little cliche, but I try and focus on like a, you know, a process type of thing, where my job is to just make sure that I'm, and one of my goals when I write them down at the beginning of the year is just to be fully prepared for every tournament. And I think like if I'm fully prepared and, you know, ready to kind of execute my golf to its highest ability, then, you know, a lot of the accomplishment stuff kind of takes care of itself. And, you know, that's, you know, there's a lot of guys that say that, but for me, you know, like it makes it so much easier for me to just focus on, you know, as long as I have confidence in how I'm playing and my ability, if I'm fully prepared to play every tournament, then I think, you know, the other stuff should just kind of fall in line.
Well, I'm excited. I think everybody's excited to see, what you do. And I mean, and obviously the hard flex, getting down on one knee and proposing to your longtime girlfriend at Pebble Beach during the AT&T. I mean, if you can win a tournament, this is storybook kind of first year on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. I mean, she's lucky. She's been able to come out a lot, and you know, that week at Pebbles for me was, for us, was a great week. And, you know, I played well that week, but you know, the truth is that was such a great week, whether I would have played well or not. So,
and you said you liked kind of the atmosphere of lots of people. You're going to get a big dose of that at 17 at TPC. Just remember, it's a wedge. All that water doesn't really mean anything. It's a wedge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's you probably wouldn't miss that green very often. You wouldn't see pros missing that green very often if it wasn't that atmosphere with water all around it. That's for sure.
Well, best of luck. I know you're really busy, so thanks for taking time to talk. And keep it going, man. The wins are out there. Go get them.
Thanks. No worries. Thanks for having me on.
So that was Eric Cole. And what a cool story, right? I mean, this, if this kid managed to get a victory on the PGA Tour this year, I mean, there are Cinderella stories, but then there are Cinderella stories. I mean, the guy gets engaged at Pebble Beach, misses the first four cuts in the fall, almost wins his first PGA Tour event in what's a home game for him, and then goes from basically no status, playing on mini tours, to if he could win a PGA Tour event, I think it would be an unbelievable story. Really glad that we got to talk to him, and I think there was some really, really good stuff in there. If you're trying to play competitive golf, this is a good podcast, because here's a kid that's kind of done it all and been at every level. So really glad that he came on and got to talk to him. Players Championship this week, the flagship event on the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy coming out today. I'm going to use Rory's words. You guys can take from this what you want. The emergence of LIV, or the emergence of a competitor, has been beneficial to everyone playing elite professional golf. And then you had Jon Rahm saying, yeah, a lot of the changes that are being made on the PGA Tour were as a result of LIV. I think everybody knows that. I think it's been interesting to watch some of the people on the PGA Tour try and act like all the stuff that the LIV guys were doing was just the devil and it was just completely detrimental. But it has forced the PGA Tour to make an enormous amount of changes. It has forced the PGA Tour to find an enormous amount of money. It's forced the PGA Tour to find a way to get an enormous amount of money to their best players. And anybody that thinks that this is being driven by not the players on the PGA Tour, I think the one thing that LIV has done is it made everybody, regardless of what side of this you're on, whether you play on LIV and you went, or whether you stayed on the PGA Tour and went, I think one of the things that it did, and I talked to a bunch of players last year before any of this happened, and I asked them what they thought. And they said, you know, the one thing that this is an opportunity is for the players to be recognized as having a voice. And so I have always been pro player. That's why I think that the best players in the world, regardless of where they play, should have the right and be able to make as much money as possible. And, you know, the tour has tried to come out and say that it was trophies and it was legacy. And now there's 10 events, no cut, small fields, guaranteed money for 10 events. If that sounds familiar, it certainly sounds familiar to me. Maybe if all of these guys at the top on the PGA Tour, if you've got Rory McIlroy, who is basically the de facto spokesman of the PGA Tour, and you've got Jon Rahm, the number one player in the world, if you've got them actually addressing and identifying the 1,000-pound elephant in the room, and saying, yeah, we've made these changes because of what LIV has done, then maybe there's an opportunity for coexistence, to where the PGA Tour does their thing, LIV does their thing. Maybe there's a way that somewhere down the road, I don't think it happens anytime soon, maybe there's a way that players just stop being at war with each other. And I do not fundamentally believe why you have to pick and choose between LIV or the PGA Tour. If you like golf and you like the PGA Tour and that's where you want to watch your golf on the PGA Tour. If you watch a LIV event and like it and want to watch it, watch it. But I got a newsflash for you. You can do both. You can do both. There are great players playing on both of these tours. And hopefully 2023 will have a little bit more less craziness, and we get back to just talking about golf as opposed to constantly talking about this battle, because there are great players playing great golf on the PGA Tour. There are great players playing great golf on LIV. And maybe there's an argument to be made that golf, as crazy as it sounds, maybe we can get it back to being in a good place in 2023. I think if cooler heads prevail, there's a better chance of that than it not happening. And I hope there's a day to where, you know, the aggressiveness and the animosity on both sides subsides, and we can just talk about how great golf is and how great these players are. Because I'm lucky enough to work with some of the best players in the world, and I've done that on the PGA Tour, I've done it on the European Tour, I've done that now on the LIV Tour, and golf is golf. And anybody that thinks that where you're playing, the game is the game, and hopefully in 2023, we can focus more on golf and less on all of the craziness. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Monday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.